This final Mishnah of the Perek continues to discuss the extent of the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, the law which we learnt from Moshe Rabbeinu. We have a tradition going back to Moshe Rabbeinu that he received at Har Sinai regarding the five types of Korban Chatos that once they are not able to be offered up, instead of allowing them to pasture until they develop a blemish, they need to be allowed to die. And the Mishnah says, Mafresh Chatosai, one who designates an animal to be his Korban Chatos, and at the time of the designation, the animal was fit to be bought as a Korban. However, later on, Vahareya Balas Mum, it became a blemished animal. It was invalidated from being bought as a sacrifice itself. The law in such a case, just like with every type of Korban, is that Moichra, you need to sell that animal, which is essentially the redemption process of that of the sanctity of the animal, that gets transferred onto money, and that money is used, you should bring a different animal from using the money which you receive from selling the Korban Chatos. And once you sell it, that the animal itself becomes a non-sanctified animal. And therefore, even if the owner then brings his Korban Chatos, this original animal will not need to die because it's no longer considered to be a Korban Chatos. The sanctity has been taken away from the animal. However, Rabbi Shimon says, "Im korva hashnia adshelenish chatar shayna." If the second, the new animal which the owner brings, is which he buys with the money, if it is offered up before the original animal which has now been sold is slaughtered, then Thomas, this animal which was sold and lost its sanctity, still needs to die now. Shekvar Kippur Abaylim, because the owner already received his atonement, and this fits into one of the categories which the Halacha Mishnah spoke about. It's an animal which was once a Korban Chatos and became invalidated from being bought as a Korban. And although right now it's not considered to be a Korban Chatos, it still has a small remnant of the sanctity that it once had. And according to Rabbi Shimon, that is enough for the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai to apply, and therefore the animal needs to be left to die. Perek Hamish to Aleph. The focus of this perek is the status of the child or the fetus of an animal which has been designated as a Korban, and to what extent the sanctity is passed on to the child. And there's an argument which we're going to see between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachomim. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the sanctity of the mother gets transferred onto the child only once the child is born. Whereas according to the Chachomim, already from when the child is conceived and is growing as a fetus inside of the mother's body, already from that stage it receives the sanctity that its mother has. And this is going to make a very big difference for whether one is able to sanctify the fetus whilst it's still in the mother's body as a different type of korban. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that it doesn't yet have the sanctity of the mother, so you would be able to sanctify it as a different korban, and then when it's born, it won't be able to get the sanctity of its mother because it's already been designated for the sake of a different korban. Whereas according to the Chachomim, that it has the sanctity of its mother already from when it is conceived, one would not be able to sanctify the fetus at all with a different for a different korban. This first Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and as a result, the Mishnah says, "Ketzem arumin al habachar." How can one sort of escape, and this is talking about a legal way of escaping the obligation of giving his firstborn animal to a koyein, the firstborn animal of animals which are fit to be bought as korbanos? There is a mitzvah, if it is a male firstborn, to give it to a koyein, and if it can be bought as a korban because it does not have a blemish, then the koyein would bring it as a korban, and if not, then the koyein would keep it for himself and eat it like a regular animal. So the Mishnah is going to offer a way that somebody is able to escape this obligation. Mevakeres shaisam uberes. If somebody had an animal which was pregnant, and this mother animal had never before given birth, Omer, he's able to say, the animal, the fetus which is inside of this animal's stomach, im zohar, if it will be a male animal, then oila, I want to declare it now to be a korban oila. Because we're going according to the opinion from Shimon ben Gamliel, he's able to do that, because the fetus does not yet have any sanctity, so it's considered like a regular animal, and he is able to sanctify it, and therefore Yoldo Zohar, if it indeed does give birth to a male child, Yikrav Oila, he could offer it up as a Korban Oila to fulfill his obligation. Now, the next part of the Mishnah is talking about a different case, because the declaration which the person makes is regarding a female child. Now, the sanctity of a bechor, a firstborn, only applies to a male firstborn. So the Gemara explains that this is a case where somebody owns a korban chatos, a female korban chatos, and that korban chatos is pregnant with the child. Doesn't have to be a firstborn child. The korban chatos is pregnant. And if this korban chatos gives birth, then, as we learned in the previous perek, the child will need to be left to die. So in order to avoid that, and in order to be able to use the animal, a person is able to say, whilst the fetus is still inside of the mother's body, if the child will be a female animal, I want to declare it now to be a korban shalomim. So since the animal does not yet have sanctity, he's able to do so, and therefore yoldon keva, if the animal gives birth to a female child, tikrav shalomim, that child will be brought as a korban shalomim. The reason why in the first case of the Mishnah we didn't talk about a korban shalomim, but rather a korban oila, is because one is only able to do this declaration in order to escape the mother's sanctity being transferred onto the child when it will be born. One is only able to do this if his new declaration is giving it a higher level of sanctity than it would get. Now, a korban shalomim has a lower level of sanctity and holiness than a firstborn animal. And therefore, in the previous case, we had to talk about a korban oila, which has a higher level. Now, the truth is, a korban shlomim has a lower level of sanctity than a korban chatos as well. So really, even in the second case, he shouldn't be able to designate it as a korban shlomim. However, because the korban chatos, which the child would become, would need to be left to die, and it wouldn't even end up being brought as a korban, so it's therefore considered on a lower level than a korban shalomim. So he would be able to declare it as a korban shalomim in order to circumvent it becoming a korban chatos. Now, the third case of the Mishnah is regarding a regular case where somebody has an animal which is not sanctified. It's called a chulin animal, it hasn't got any sanctity or holiness, and he decides that he wants to designate its fetus as a korban already whilst it's still a fetus. So if he said, Im Zohar Oila, if the child which will be born, it will be a male, I want it to be a korban oila, which is always a male animal. Im Nakeva, if it will be a female animal, Zichri Shalomim, I want it to be brought as a korban shalomim, Yoldo Zohar and a keva, and then the animal gave birth to both a male child and a female child. I might have thought that this person only had intention to designate one animal as a korban. And he thought that there was only one animal which would be born. He didn't realize that there were two fetuses which were about to be born. Nevertheless, we do not say that. Rather, we understand that his intention was that any male child which is going to be born now will be a korban oila, and any female child will be a korban shlomim, and therefore azochar yakav oila. The male child should be offered up as a korban oila, and the female child should be bought as a korban shlomim. Mishnah Beis, this is a continuation of the previous case where somebody declared that if his animal gives birth to a male child, it should be a korban oila. If it gives birth to a female child, it should be a korban shalomim. What happens if yoldo shnei zecharim, the mother animal gives birth to two male children? Now, certainly in his declaration, he only stated that one male child should be a korban oila. He used the singular form, so the Mishnah says, Achas me echad mehenikav oila, only one of them should be brought as a korban oila. However, the hasheni, the second one, yimocher dechayovi oila, needs to be sold to somebody who is obligated to bring a korban oila, and he's able to get the money for that, v'domam chulin, and the money which he gets for it will not be sanctified, and he can use it for himself. The way we're going to understand this is that it's a doubt as to which of the two animals became the korban oila. It's not clear based on his declaration. It is clear that he only wanted to offer up just one of them. However, each of them could actually be an animal which is a korban oila. So the animal needs to be brought as a korban oila, just that this person particularly is only obligated to bring one of them as a korban oila. And that explains the Mishnah's solution, that he should sell the animal to somebody for him to bring it as a korban oila. So both animals will end up being brought as a korban oila, but this particular individual won't lose out as a result. Likewise, Yoldoshtein Kevois, if the animal gave birth to two female children, Achas Mehen Tekav Shlomim, one of them should be bought as a korban shlomim itself. Vashinyod Timachin Achayavi Shlomim, the second animal should be sold to other people who are liable to bring a korban shlomim, and the animal will end up being bought as that korban, Vodomehel Chulin, but the money which the person receives for selling it will be not sanctified, and he can use it for himself. Yoldo tumtum v'androgynous. What happens if the animal gave birth to a tumtum, which is an animal whose male and female organs are covered, and it's therefore a doubt as to whether the animal is female or male? And androgynous is really the opposite. It's an animal which has both male and female organs. The question is, would this be included in the person's declaration when he said that the male or female child will be a korban oila or korban shalomim, respectively? What happens if one of these types of animals are born? Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Ein kedusha chola aleihem, sanctity and holiness does not come upon them, and they would not be sanctified, they would not be born as korban ois shalomim or korban oila. Now, the language of Rav Shimon Gamliel implies even more than that, that such an animal is never able to be bought as a korban oila or korban shalomim. It can never get such sanctity. And indeed, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, this animal is considered to be like a blemished animal, which obviously cannot be offered up as a korban. So even if somebody were to take the animal from the beginning and designate it as a korban, he would not be able to offer it up. Mishnah Gimel, Ha'omer, one who declares about an animal which he owns, which does not yet have any sanctity, V'lodo shel zoy oila, the child, the fetus inside of this animal, should be a korban oila. V'hi, and the animal itself, should be shlomim, a korban shlomim, dvarav kayomim, his words are valid, and indeed, he would bring the fetus once it's born as a korban oila, and the mother as a korban shlomim. What happens, however, if he switched the order around? First, he said, he shalomim, I'm declaring the mother animal itself as a korban shalomim, uvlodo oila, and its fetus as a korban oila. In this case, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, as soon as he declared the mother to be a korban shalomim, it became a korban shalomim. So the child, the fetus inside of the mother, gains that same status. This Mishnah is going according to the opinion of the Chachomim, that the fetus of a korban gains its sanctity not when it's born, but rather already from when it's conceived. It's considered to be a part of the mother, and therefore, as soon as the mother becomes a korban shalomim, the fetus is automatically also a korban shalomim. So therefore, even if he adds after that, uvlodo oila, that its fetus should be a korban oila, harizo vad shalomim, the fetus is considered to be a korban shalomim, just like its mother. Div Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. On the other hand, Omar Rabbi Yosi said, "Im lochein is kavim etchila, if from the beginning he intended for this, he intended to say that whole sentence that the mother should be a korban shalomim and the child should be a korban oila. Hol v'yehav shalikas shnei shemes ka'achas, since he's not able to say two different things at the same time, dvarav kayomim, his words are valid and the child would be a korban oila." Rabbi Yosi holds that bigmar dvarav odom nitpas, which means that we sort of wait for the person to finish his sentence before defining that which he has said. According to Meir holds tefos loshen rishon, which means that you define what the person is saying as he goes along. So as we take the first part of his sentence, that the animal should be a korban shalomim, and that is valid already from then. So the child automatically also becomes a korban shalomim. But according to Yosi, we only start defining that which he has said at the end of his sentence, and at that point we see that he is splitting between the mother and the fetus, and therefore the fetus would have its own independent sanctity of a korban oila. That having been said, Rabbi Yosi agrees, V'im misha omar harizoi shalomim, if only after he said that the mother should be a korban shalomim, nimlach v'omar v'lodo oila, he changed his mind, and only then he decided to declare the fetus a korban oila. In that case, he agrees that harizo vlad shalomim, the fetus would be a korban shalomim, because that's already considered to be a new statement. It's not a continuation of his original statement, because he only decided to say it when he finished the first statement, the first declaration. And therefore, in this case, Rabbi Yosi does agree that the child would be a korban shalomim, just like its mother.